This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 15th day of February, 2021. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and absurdity on a cold February morning in the studio where it's comfy in here, but it's getting colder outside right now. As we roll the recording, it is about 40. But tonight it's going down to around 12. In some parts of the state, single digits overnight tonight. And combined with that, we've got moisture coming in. So in some areas already have ice on the roads already, and it is just getting bad. And where I live, just north of Birmingham, Alabama, maybe half an hour from city center, the forecast is chancy. This may happen. Overnight, we're going to get some ice. Tomorrow morning is what's going to be really crazy around here. It's because what moisture falls today, what moisture accumulates, if there's rain or anything like that, if it accumulates today, tonight, it's all going to harden up. It's going to be icy. It's going to be rough. That's what it's going to be tomorrow morning. So that's when things are going to get crazy. And as things happen overnight, as those temperatures drop, then that could also cause problems for power delivery, telephone lines, things like that, as the weight of the ice begins to take its toll. And that is something which could happen. And we've seen that happen here. Now, our power, Southern Services, the power company, is that it? Southern? Anyway, Alabama Power has worked hard over the last several years to clear overhanging limbs away from power lines and the like, because several years ago we had one of these occurrences, one of the ice storms, and the limbs, especially pine trees, which are brittle, the pine tree limbs broke, and the result was that power was out all over the place. So they were scrambling to fix the power outages, and then after that was through, they sent crews everywhere to to trim back the limbs. And hopefully we won't have that kind of a problem, hopefully. But here at the Daily Perspective Podcast Studios, there's a generator, there's a fireplace to keep things warm, so we can at least get the refrigerator hooked up and have some way to cook, and we have lanterns and batteries and things like that, so we can have some light at night if it gets to that, and we can stay warm. So that's going to be okay. So we're going to be fine here. So hopefully it won't be bad. Now, further to the west and north of us, wow, it's getting crazy. People are already having power outages. I'm reading, somebody I know in another state has been without power. Somewhere in Texas, they've been without power since early this morning. And it's going to be rough for them. Really is. Now, where have I been? I told you about leaving, and the last couple of weeks, actually, I was in Pensacola, Florida with my dad, who's in his mid to upper 80s. His memory's going. His hearing is going. I was there to spend a week or so with him and to make sure that there was, meals were happening and, just taking care of things, making sure he didn't fall and hurt himself and such. And that's what I was doing last week. And then when Charlotte came home, my stepsister Camille stepped in and she took over, and that freed me up to come back here. But that was pretty much what my week was. And my week, basically, as I've said, I was making sure that there were meals, and their church, they have a sweet little church they go to down there, and their Sunday school class delivered food and kept us going, which was nice. I prepared some meals and I ordered some things, but by and large, it was the church that was taking care of the food. And I was just making sure that it got put in front of both of us so that we ate. And, They took care of us, and except for there was one meal that I decided, you know what, I'm going to order a pizza tonight. We can reheat what's left over for lunch tomorrow. Let me get one big enough so that we can have a couple of meals out of it. And then when I got there, I kind of wished I'd had a pickup truck to pick it up, because this place's large pizza was it was big. It was really big. And I'm not, you ain't scaring me, but wow, it was big. And that pizza, the slices were so big.
How big were they?
They were so big that my dad couldn't finish one slice. I finished a slice. And just because the pizza was so good, I went and cut a portion off of another slice and nibbled on that. And we had, it was all but three whole slices left out of this big pizza left. And I bagged all the slices up in Ziploc bags and stuck them in the fridge, thinking, okay, well, this will be something we'll munch on for the rest of the time I'm here. We'll have it now and then. That's what I thought. And I sent my stepsister Camille a text and said, hey, you know anybody with a teenager who would like some pizza? Because I got a lot of it here, and she has one. But I don't think she took it to him. Anyway, that was a huge pizza. Ginormous pizza. By the way, if you're in Pensacola and you want a great pizza, Skye's Pizza Pies, just look them up. Skye's, like the sky above you, Skye's, Skye's Pizza Pies. It's not a paid endorsement. It's an observation. Great pizza. What else happened? Really not a heck of a lot else happened. It was just me keeping dad company I get up really early. My dad sleeps about 12 hours. He just does. And so he'd go to bed about 9:45, wake up, get up, and I'd see him appear just about 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm up 3-4 hours before he is. I actually produced a podcast while I was there. I did it on my iPad, which was an adventure. And it's not something I recommend to somebody who's used to using real equipment, but I had to go to Best Buy and pick up a microphone. By the way, if you need a microphone, a USB microphone, I have one for sale, because I'll never use this again. It's a great microphone. Just get in touch with me if you're interested. If you're interested, just mark at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Send me an email and I'll get back in touch with you. But it's a great microphone. It's one of these blue USB microphones. They call it a pro microphone, and I chuckled when I saw it, but it's a good microphone. It sounds good. I'm just not going to be using it again because I've got this stuff. So I produced a podcast. I occupied myself. I worked on my car one morning. I kept myself occupied. And at some point I would settle in with a cup of coffee and start watching TV shows. And on one of the channels on their cable system, they every morning ran back-to-back episodes of the old TV show Night Court. Do you remember Harry Anderson and Night Court? Well, if you do, you do. If you don't, well, okay. But I used to love the show. It was funny. It kept me in stitches when it was on, and I had a great time watching these episodes. But I would be watching, and my dad would get up, and he would get a cup of coffee and come sit down in the living room with me, and it would be getting to the last 5 minutes of the show when they're wrapping everything up, and all of a sudden the channel guide would come up, and Night Court was gone, and I never saw the end. There was like 3 or 4 episodes I didn't see the end of. Now, I've seen them before, and I could go back and find them and watch them, but it's just like, wow. I ended up adapting and finding things to watch on my iPad, so I would sit there and with my earbuds in, and watching what I wanted on my iPad while my dad would watch something and never watch anything all the way through and then change channels. And I think the only thing that actually held his attention was he watched old football games, and they would stay on for the duration. And he'd watch basketball because it's basketball season. He'd watch basketball. And when there wasn't anything current on basketball he was interested in, he'd find old basketball games on some ESPN channel and watch those. And those would stay on forever. But I couldn't watch the end of a Night Court episode. No. And then I look over and he's reading a book. He's got basketball on and he's reading a book. And I just, whatever. Anyhow, that was kind of my week. And we had a great visit. We had a good time there. And it was good to see everybody and spend some time. And I determined that the next time Jane and I go down for a visit, we're gonna escape and go hang with Camille and her husband, Steve, for a little while. And because we just haven't done that before. It's just the long distance and everything and requirements of work and such, and keeping visits down to a couple of times a year. And when we're there, we're hanging, we're focused on hanging with them and with my dad and my stepmother and my aunt and cousin. And we don't go much beyond that. And next time that's going to change though, because I had a good time visiting with them and I want to do that next time. But that was pretty much my adventure. And then on the way back, my mom, who still lives in the Birmingham area, had given me an errand to run for her, which actually wasn't on my way back, but it was close enough. So she a while back had passed by this little roadside business that sells decorative lawn stuff, bird baths and things like that, that are molded out of concrete. You've passed by these places when you've been out. They're on state roads, back roads, blue roads. They're not on the main drags. You don't see that kind of stuff. But when you're on your way to the beaches on the Gulf Coast of Florida, for particularly Panama City Beach and along that stretch, then along those state highways, you will see businesses like that. People have their homes and then they'll have a business out by the road, and you'll see all manner of things like that. And she had found these ornamental items that this lady that runs this business has, and she was able to buy one of them, and she wanted more. And she'd been calling, and whenever she would go through the area, she would stop by and see if she had any. And finally, not long ago, she got more of them back in stock. And so she said, hey, I want you to go by and pick up these. She's got two of them. I want you to go pick up two of these things and bring them home for me. And so, being the good son, that's what I did. Except she didn't have just two. She had three. And then when it was discovered that there were just three of them there, oh, yeah, there's a bird bath she has that I want. So I loaded the back of my Ford Flex with concrete, molded concrete items for the drive home and delivered them last Friday when I was able to finally get back over to her place. Anyway, now you pretty much know where I've been and what I've been doing up until now. Well, except for a couple of days when I just sat back and took it easy and caught up on all the things I didn't get done around the house while I was gone. Okay, coming up next, we'll take a look at impeachment right here. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, February 15th, 2021. Good to have you along today. Thank you so much for being a member of the group and for tuning in or downloading faithfully. Oh, man, if you tried to catch the live feed this morning, I apologize for the problems with that. Everything was working and then it wasn't, and no audio was getting out. And yeah, when I get through recording, we'll sort that out. So tomorrow the live feed will be as it should be. Some days I wonder why I even do the live feed. because I look at the stats and, you know, not a lot of people are watching it, but, you know, it keeps me off the streets. That's, I guess that's the way to put it. Lately been watching, and I think it's because, yeah, that's why it is. I got back into, to the comedy work of John Panette, the late John Panette, while I was on my trip, because my stepsister Camille mentioned something about Chinese buffets and you go now. And that's who that is. If you're familiar with that line about you've been here 4 hours, that's John Panette. And I had the pleasure of seeing him one time live, and I've listened to his stuff, for all of his stuff. And I've watched, I think, every last video that's ever been done by him, whether it be on a stage, a Comedy Central special, some recording from a comedy club, or his visit with a radio show before his appearance at a comedy club in some city. And that's another thing, by the way. These guys, these morning show guys, and I can say this having been a morning show guy, these morning show guys, many of them need to learn when to just shut up. It's like you've got Einstein at the chalkboard explaining relativity and Sheldon Cooper's in the back with his hand up going, oh, wait, that's wrong. And it's just, they just need to know they're not the comedy team. They've got a genius in the room and they just need to be quiet and let him be brilliant. And that's been my experience watching these guys. It just amazes me. I just want to reach out and smack him. The guy is so funny. Don't try to get in on his act. Let him be funny. He's there for a specific reason, for one reason, and that's to promote his comedy show and to sell tickets. And you're trying to join the show that morning. You're trying to be funny, and you don't do that for a living. So you'd best just let the expert do what he does. And that's not just Panette. It's every comic. They all come through. They all deal with the radio shows, and some of them hate, and I know this from talking with some of them, they hate doing radio shows because the radio show, especially morning radio guys, they all somehow think they're stand-up comics, and they have got to be funny alongside the comedian in for the day, and you just don't need to do that. Please leave that work to the expert. It's like having Tom Brady on the field and Colin Kaepernick is trying to horn in on the action. It's just crazy. It's just the way it is. Okay, now, let's see. I said we were going to get to, and we are going to get to the impeachment and the acquittal and such. But first off, a little absurdity, okay? The Pentagon, according to information gleaned through material secured through a Freedom of Information Act request to the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, has admitted to testing wreckage from UFO crashes. And a researcher who obtained those materials is theorizing the debris may be from the Roswell, New Mexico crash of 1947. The Daily Mail is reporting that although much of the report's details have been redacted, you know, big black lines, so you can't read what's in the report, what can be gleaned is that these technologies represent a literal quantum leap beyond the properties of all existing material known to man. This is what was written by Anthony Bregaglia on his blog called UFO Explorations. Now, Bregaglia said he secured more than 150 pages from the DIA after the agency responded to a request he submitted 3 years ago. He says the original 2017 Freedom of Information request made to the DIA asks for the physical descriptions, properties, and compositions of UFO UAP material held by the government and its contractor. These materials and physical debris recovered by personnel of the Department of Defense as residue, flotsam, shot off material, and crashed UAPs or unidentified flying objects. So we now have somebody who is saying that the Pentagon has been studying debris from UFO crashes, and some of it is technologically stunning. I will just throw that out there and leave it for you to deal with, because honestly, I don't know what to make of it. I have long suspected that things have been covered up. It doesn't challenge my belief systems to think that possibly this could be happening, but apparently it is. Of course, this story is just vague enough. And of course, the reports which were accessed through the Freedom of Information Act request were redacted enough that the Pentagon, the government, can come back and say, no, there's stuff in those redactions that you don't see that is sensitive material that we can't let you see for international policy reasons, and you're on the wrong track because you don't have all the information. And because, I mean, you're speculating and you're making some assumptions. So they can say that. The final verdict on this remains to be seen. As they say, the jury is still out. There's no telling what this really does mean. But there you have it. That's coming from, actually, that's a story from Newsmax.com. I didn't go digging into some wacko website that sees aliens behind every bush. So let's see what happens with that. Let's see how that develops, if it does. Because there's been a pretty fair bit of chatter about UFOs and things being uncovered here recently and released by the government. We'll see what happens. It's interesting. It's interesting. Is there a resident alien among us? We'll have to find out. Now, to impeachment. Former President Donald Trump was acquitted. You're aware of this by now. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It was his second impeachment trial, and Saturday they cleared him of charges of incitement of insurrection that stemmed from the riot on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Now, most news sources refer to this as the deadly riot. And, yeah, people died. The causes of death, you never, ever, ever hear about anyone talking about them except for two. And one was the officer who died afterwards, who they claimed had been struck with a fire extinguisher, although the pathology reports show nothing that indicates he was struck by a fire extinguisher and that was not the cause of death. And his family has said he had pre-existing conditions, and they have indicated they think that is what culminated in his passing away, not what happened on January 6th on Capitol Hill. And then there's the young woman who should not have been where she was, who was climbing through the window in the door that had been broken and was shot by Capitol Security, which is an ongoing investigation. Excessive use of force, possibly? I would say most likely, because you've got this one person coming through the window. You've got this handful of people on the other side of the window. They have handcuffs. They could very easily overcome her and handcuff her and secure her, and one of them shot her. Now, that's tragic as well. So that's two people. There were two more. One passed away of a heart attack. One passed away of a stroke. And there were a couple of police officers who, in the days following, committed suicide. There has been no connection made in any of these cases, except for those first two, that what happened on January 6th had anything to do with these deaths. But this is what they hang in the air over the people they're accusing. You're responsible for these people dying. Really? Well, not so much. Not so much. It's a big stretch. But that's all the leftists have, is a big stretch. It's all they can do, is claim things which can't be supported with actual fact in the real world. But then again, this is how they operate all the time. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Monday, the 15th day of February, 2021. You remember a while back when I was ranting about the Dollar Shave Club? Yeah, they donated something like $100,000 to Black Lives Matter, seeking to be out there on the bleeding edge of political correctness and wokeness. They lost a lot of customers, including myself, that day. And I've been looking for another alternative. I tried... now the name of that razor thing has slipped my mind. Anyway, it was something I saw on Facebook, and I thought, well, I'll give that a shot. And because I thought, well, that's a cool idea. And their idea, their interpretation of how to do a razor was different. And I thought, well, that's worth a shot. I'll give it a try. So I spent about $20 on, you know, on the razor and some blades and such, and was disappointed. Didn't like it. And is it called Defender? I think it's Defender is the razor company. And no offense to you guys at Defender, but no. Your blade needs a little more than you gave it. Okay, it just needs a little more than you gave it, and it flips over. It's inconvenient. It doesn't work well. That's all I can say about it, is it doesn't work well. And so I tossed that one, and I signed up for Harry's, and I got to say I'm impressed with Harry's. It came in a few days ago, right after I got back, and. If you're looking for a good alternative to the expensive store-bought option, where I don't know if you've looked, but guys, you know, if you go to the store, and ladies, if you're buying your guys' razor stuff, you know how expensive even just a 3-pack of razor cartridges, the refills is. It's just ridiculously expensive. And now there are options. And you should exercise your options. It's not a commercial. It's just an observation. It's not a paid endorsement, but Harry's is winning so far. In fact, I think Harry's is better quality-wise, the quality of the shave, everything about it so far is superior to Dollar Shave Club or anything else I've tried. So I would suggest, if you haven't already, I suggest you try Harry's, because good stuff. Okay, back to impeachment. I want to get to what President Trump actually had to say. But first, I want to remind you of who on the R side of the aisle, the Republicans, who voted against him. From North Carolina, Senator Richard Burr. From Louisiana, Senator Bill Cassidy. From Maine, Senator Susan Collins. No big surprise there. Alaska, Senator Lisa Murkowski. No surprise there. Mitt Romney from Utah. No surprise there. From Nebraska, Ben Sass. From Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey. All of these people should be primaried. All of them should be greeters at Walmart after this particular term, because these guys, with few exceptions, announced beforehand how their vote was going to go. Before they heard one argument, before they saw one presentation, before they heard a single word in defense of the president, they made up their minds. And the defense of the president was, in a word, perfect. Because when Michael Van Der Veen presented the video of all of these Democrats using the same terminology and worse than the president did during his speech on January 6th, all they could do was sit there and fidget or ignore or get on their mobile devices and scan Twitter, because he nailed them. And the faithful, the people who actually have brains and vote for their constituents, unlike these seven people, they voted to acquit. And so the vote came down 57-43. There needed to be 67 votes for conviction, and they didn't get anywhere near it. So it just didn't happen. And the president, let's see here, the president made a statement. And here is what he had to say. I want to first thank my team of dedicated lawyers and others for their tireless work upholding justice and defending truth. My deepest thanks as well to all of the United States senators and members of Congress who stood proudly for the Constitution we all revere and for the sacred legal principles at the heart of our country. Our cherished constitutional republic was founded on the impartial rule of law, the indispensable safeguard for our liberties, our rights, and our freedoms. It is a sad commentary on our times that one political party in America is given a free pass to denigrate the rule of law, defame law enforcement, cheer mobs, excuse rioters, and transform justice into a tool of political vengeance, and persecute, blacklist, cancel, and suppress all people and viewpoints with whom or which they disagree. I always have and always will be a champion for the unwavering rule of law, the heroes of law enforcement, and the right of Americans to peacefully and honorably debate the issues of the day, without malice and without hate. This has been yet another phase of the greatest witch hunt in the history of our country. No president has ever gone through anything like it, and it continues because our opponents cannot forget the almost 75 million people, the highest number ever for a sitting president, who voted for us just a few short months ago. I also want to convey my gratitude to the millions of decent, hardworking, law-abiding, God- and country-loving citizens who have bravely supported these important principles in these very difficult and challenging times. Our historic, patriotic, and beautiful movement to make America great again has only just begun. In the months ahead, I have much to share with you, and I look forward to continuing our incredible journey together to achieve American greatness for all of our people. There has never been anything like it. We have so much work ahead of us, and soon we will emerge with a vision for a bright, radiant, and limitless American future. Together, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. We remain one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God, and it's our responsibility to preserve this magnificent inheritance for our children and for generations of Americans to come. May God bless you all of you, and may God forever bless the United States of America. And that was the statement from President Donald Trump after being acquitted of the accusations presented by the duplicitous Democrats in the impeachment dog and pony show. Now, there was a reason that all of this happened, and we've talked about that here several times from over at epochtimes.com. There's an article called "The Aim of the Trump Impeachment." It's to chill and criminalize speech that opposes the leftist agenda, and it's written by Tom Fitton. He is the president of Judicial Watch, and this is what he has to say, I should say, and he's right about this, because these politicians are trying to send a message, and that message is, don't resist us, don't stand up to us, don't disagree with us. This is what will happen to you if you do. They're trying to chill the atmosphere. They're trying to frighten people into submission. And this is what dictatorships do. This is what the left has always done. They have made it socially unacceptable to be different. You must conform. If you don't conform, you're the enemy. And so what they're doing is making enemies of at least 74 million Americans, at least, probably more, because of the vote fraud that took place, the manipulation of the numbers. It's probably more. Tom Fitton, conservative activist and president of Judicial Watch, told the Epoch Times, American thought leaders in an interview. He believes the aim of bringing an incitement of insurrection charge against former President Donald Trump was to chill and criminalize speech that opposes the agenda of those on the political left. Calling Trump's second impeachment trial anti-constitutional, Fitton remarked that it amounts to an attempt to silence the voices of those raising issues of concern that run counter to certain political objectives. He said, it's really an attack on civil rights and President Trump, the civil rights of his supporters who share his concerns about the issues he's raised. And what the left is trying to do is outlaw opposition to its agenda. Number one on the list is concerns about election integrity. If you raise concerns about it, you need to be deplatformed or worse. House Democrats making the case for impeachment have argued that Trump set the stage for violence through repeated claims that the election results were fraudulent. On the second day of the trial, Democrat impeachment managers laid out the case that the January 6th Capitol breach was not caused by a single speech, but was rather the outcome of a months-long model of messaging that sowed doubt about the election and fueled anger among Trump supporters by reinforcing the view that they had been cheated out of a win and disenfranchised due to fraud. Now, this is what I was telling you before. If you've been listening for a while, you know I've said this, that this was what they were going to do. That they realized at some point they couldn't make this about the January 6th speech. They had to make it about his entire presidency or what he has said since the election about fraud. And that's exactly what they did. They also alleged that Trump summoned a mob to Washington, gave the crowd its marching orders, and did nothing to stop the violence as it played out on television. Well, his defense lawyers have argued that Trump urged the crowd to demonstrate peacefully, and his January 6th remarks about fighting were mere figures of speech, no different than the kind that politicians typically make, and anyway, allowable under First Amendment protections. Michael Vanderveen said, to claim that the president in any way wished, desired, or encouraged lawlessness or violent behavior is a preposterous and a monstrous lie. Also to claim, accuse Democrats of waging a campaign of hatred against Trump. And we'll get into more of that after the break. And there is more to cover, including an interesting analysis about the acquittal. We'll come back to that when the Daily Perspective podcast continues.
America.
It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Coming back from a break. Away. Not that break. This break. The break in the podcast for the last couple of weeks. Good to be back. I'm looking at a kind of a busy day. Because of the freeze that's coming our way, a lot of stuff is going to get shut down this afternoon / evening. It's going to get very cold here tonight. We've had moisture in the atmosphere, some rain. Everything that's wet is going to freeze, it looks like. We're already seeing their predictions right now. Just in the northwestern corner of the state of Alabama, where I am, they're looking at a quarter to a half inch of ice accumulation. Ice, not snow, a quarter to a half inch of ice. And you stop and think about that. Bridges, overpasses, power cables, telephone poles, trees. That's a lot of weight. And on the road surfaces, it's very dangerous. Anyway, that's what we're looking at. And whether or not there'll be a podcast tomorrow, who knows? I just don't know. We'll have to see. Just because of the way things are developing weather-wise. I have a generator, but if the lines are down because of ice damage, it's not going to happen. We'll see. Oh, okay. Now, back to what we were talking about. Trump's defense lawyers have argued that Trump urged the crowd to demonstrate peacefully. His January 6th remarks about fighting were mere figures of speech, no different from the kind that politicians typically make, and anyway, allowable under First Amendment protections. Michael Vanderveen said to claim that president in any way wished, desired, or encouraged lawless or violent behavior is preposterous. It's a monstrous lie. They also accused Democrats of waging a campaign of hatred against Trump, using the impeachment trial to settle political scores, and of hypocrisy. On Friday, Trump's lawyers played a montage of clips showing Democrats, some of them senators now serving as jurors, also telling supporters to fight, seeking to establish a parallel with Trump's rhetoric. Van der Veen said this is ordinary political rhetoric that's virtually indistinguishable from language that's been used by people across the political spectrum for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Countless politicians have spoken of fighting for our principles. David Shon, one of the attorneys representing Trump, said Friday that this unprecedented effort is not about Democrats opposing political violence. It's about Democrats trying to disqualify their political opposition. It is constitutional cancel culture. Asked to comment on Shon's remarks, Tom Fitton says he believes they accurately reflect the intention behind the impeachment push. He said, "This is an effort to deplatform the president from our nation's political life and to try to remove a player from the chessboard who could be an effective advocate, a leader against their agenda." And Tom Fitton sums it up perfectly. This is an effort to remove Donald Trump and all of those who agree with what he has had to say, to remove them from the playing field, to take them out of the game. This is what this is all about. It has nothing to do with truth, justice. It has nothing to do with the Constitution and everything to do with political power. Now, what does it mean, this acquittal? And going to Twitter, let me see if I can pull up this. This is from Pasquale, Pat Scopoletti on Twitter. And if you don't follow him, he has some interesting observations on things. And here's what he has to say. It's a thread, and it's part of today's show notes. By the way, remember, go to linkreport.us to get the show notes today. What does it mean, this acquittal? First, it means that the Democrat/Rhino alliance has now used impeachment for nothing other than kabuki theater twice. What does that reveal? It reveals the desperation that counts days as ends. Quote, "If we can only have control of the news cycle this one more day, whew, we got through that one." There will always be another disaster or catastrophe to get through tomorrow for them. They count on that. There are two factors they can't handle. The first is that they thought merely a dormant landform was actually a sleeping giant. The MAGA movement isn't just a political blip. Long ago, there was the Reagan Revolution. Something stirred. Then followed the "read my lips, no new taxes, and let's invade Iraq, but leave Saddam in power" guy who put us all right back to sleep. 41 sang decent hit lullabies, lulling us back to sleep while raping our economy, selling our jobs to the highest bidder, China. Bush, Clinton, and Bush desecrated their sacred trust as leaders of our nation. This must never be forgotten. Then came Obama, 44, and something different began to occur. He awakened a resistance called the Tea Party, and it began winning, and winning, and winning. No, it couldn't overcome the Rhino Republican Party in the persons of John McCain and Mitt Romney, but by the time Trump created the MAGA movement, we handed him the House, Senate, and White House. It's important to remember that the Tea Party paved the way, and MAGA followed on its heels. The giant stirred. Happy? We fell just a little bit back to sleep. Our giant alarm clock has too easy a snooze button, and we lost ground in 2018. But something else was happening. Voter fraud, on a scale never before employed in America. Having both put us back to sleep and defrauded the vote, they knew that 2020 was going to be a major problem. Never before in American history was a presidential landslide and victory in both House and Senate completely stolen, as occurred in 2020. The will of the people and the structure of our democracy has never been shorn apart as it was in 2020. That is the second factor alluded to above. Our government apparatus has been ripped away from us, from our will, from our vote, from our traditions. Thus, a second impeachment. And if the rest of the Republicans who acquitted Trump hadn't known, certainly they'd be removed. they would not have acquitted. The giant is no longer asleep. Dazed and confused and trying and failing to deny, yes. Asleep? No. We have much to learn and much to decide. But the giant is awake. This acquittal, perfunctory as it was yet again another turning point in our story. They know that. We should too. He's not wrong. He is not wrong. This is another turning point. The Democrats have once again publicly proven who and what they are, joined by a handful of Republicans. They have once again publicly shown us exactly who and what they are. They have shown us what their priorities truly are. And their priorities are not listening to the people. Their priorities are propagandizing and brainwashing the people to convince them of certain things. Something that I have observed many times and I've told you about is that when you talk with someone who is anti-Trump, the range of reasoning they employ generally runs from, well, he just makes me uncomfortable, I wish he wouldn't talk or tweet the way he does, to quoting you everything that the left has published in the news, sending you articles, links to articles. They can't qualify, they can't state on their own what's actually wrong, they can't support their positions. They just don't like what they're seeing, and they agree, and they seek explanations from the, quote, experts, end quote. And over the past couple of weeks, I sat and watched the news every day from late afternoon to early evening, a couple hours a day, local news, national news. And that's not my habit. I don't normally do that. I digest it as it comes throughout the day because my schedule allows for that. I haven't made it a secret that I'm a retired guy, so I spend my time skimming the news as the day goes by. And I see things happen. I pass a lot of stuff along to you on social media. And I earmark some of that stuff to talk about here each day. But I don't digest the news the way most people do. Most people get their news in little sound bites and video bites and snippets and opinion, the expression of opinion by news anchors, which is not labeled as opinion. And that is a dangerous way to consume the news. So people are being told that Donald Trump was dangerous to the country. And the left just tried to convince the entire nation that he was dangerous. And when I say the left, I include people like Mitch McConnell, who is saying things like there still could be reasons to convict Donald Trump, things he could have done while he was in office, thus reinforcing what the Democrats are trying to convince Americans of. It is extremely important that we get our information and examine that information, not just open our mouths and let them pour it in. Don't give these people your brain. Use it yourself. And think critically. The nation's future depends on it. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. Weather permitting and all conditions permitting, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.